Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. My Olympian mission is to promote lifelong personal development, human empowerment, out-of-the-box thinking, creative self-expression, and a dedication of one's unique talents to community service. All of my labors in this lifetime celebrate the hero's journey in myth, legend, spirituality, popular culture, and in daily life. I firmly believe that the human spirit is essentially heroic and always seeking ways to express its innate nobility and greatness, and that a life fully lived, dedicated to actualizing the highest we can conceive, is the noblest expression of human existence. Tonight, on our quest for optimal wellness, I'm proud to bring you The Art of Healing with Kak Young. Greetings and welcome, Kak, and a very happy and healthy new year.
Oh, thank you so much, Hercules, and the very, very same to you. How's it going so far?
It's been an interesting day on a variety of different levels, but it's almost ended, and tomorrow promises to be another interesting and exciting day.
Yes, yes. Another growth opportunity for us all, don't you think?
On some level, yes.
I know. Well, I can't wait to ask you, have you started your chart, your course? Are you charting your course this year for 2021?
I was going to talk to you about that. I'm doing it a little bit differently. I'm internalizing it some more. As you know, since antiquity, the zodiac has been associated with the labors of Hercules. And I've learned to chart your course, which is an excellent system, and it greatly broadened my practice of the zodiac. So what I'm doing this year is, rather than just do the 12 days, I'm going to put that energy into each and every day of each and every zodiac sign. So I had such great results with Chart Your Course over the past few years that this time I decided to turbocharge it and see what happens.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I can't wait to hear more, you know. And I wanted to start our new year off with an amazing lady that I've come across on the internet. And I have listened to her on the radio, and I found her, you know, fascinating. So I invited her on to start our year off. Her name is Caroline Chang, and she is the producer and host of Awake to Oneness Radio and founder of the Kyle Foundation, which is called Keep Your Light Expanding. She's also the co-founder of Universal Oneness Alliance, and she was inspired to launch her podcast after she had an amazing experience in her life. She's had quite a few of those. So her mission now is designed to inspire the world to awaken the universal truth of oneness, and she believes sincerely with all her heart that spirituality and science are teaching us that we are literally all connected, that we are one, and when humanity awakens to the truth, there will be peace on this earth. Now, we've all heard that before, but I think Caroline has some insights and a lot of information about that, so I wanted her to discuss that. I welcome her here tonight because she not only has an interesting life story to tell, but her own awakening to share with us, and I've got a lot of questions for her, so without further ado, welcome Caroline.
Thank you so much for having me, Kay. I'm honored. Thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Okay? Oh.
It's a pleasure. Okay. And I'm sorry, I heard an echo there.
Wasn't sure if you heard me. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
No, I just heard a little feedback there, but you're good. Now, Caroline, let's just dig right into it. You have a huge mission. Tell us about what happened, why you started it, and what you're all about.
Okay. I think from early on, as a child, I've always you know, felt like there was more. As far as I always thought truth, things just didn't resonate with me as a child. As far as I was sent to Catholic school and I, you know, was studying what was taught in traditional religion, basically. And it just didn't, a lot, some of it, the dogma, basically, of religion didn't sit right with me. But my father was pretty strict, and he said, children ought to be seen and not heard. So I knew I couldn't, if something didn't feel right to me, and it was all a feeling thing. I'm like 5-6 years old, so it just didn't feel right. But I couldn't say that. I couldn't say, well, you know what, this doesn't feel right. Something feels off to me. I couldn't say that because I was taught to, you know, just listen and not voice what I was feeling. So I said to myself as a young child, when I grow up, I'm going to search for, you know, truth, that what resonates as true for me. And so that took me on at least a 30-year journey of studying metaphysics, spirituality. And then I got to the point where I felt like I understood a lot, but there was a missing piece. And that missing piece came to me in 2007 when I watched a documentary about quantum physics. I had never really even heard of quantum physics, but I watched a documentary called What the Bleep. And when I watched that documentary, there was one sentence that Lynn McTaggart stated. She is a journalist, and she's a great lady. And she said in the documentary, she said, the biggest problem in the world today is the illusion of separation. And when she said that, something woke up inside of me. It wasn't an intellectual knowing. It was a heart and soul knowing that simple statement was true, that we are all one and with everyone and everything. There is no separation. Now, science has proven this through quantum physics has proven that everything is energy, and that energy is interconnected and interdependent. There is no separation. It's just energy vibrating at different frequencies. And that was the missing piece for me spiritually. Like I said, I'd been studying metaphysics and spirituality off and on for 30 years, but I felt there was just one missing piece for me, and the missing piece was understanding that everything is just one thing. Everyone, every animal, every plant, it's just all one. The entire universe, not just the Earth, but the entire universe is just one. And I realized the truth of the statement she made, that if mankind realized and knew from a heart and soul level that we were all one with each other, that would put an end to war, that would put an end to poverty, that would put an end to hunger, that would put an end to crime, that would put an end to all of the problems with just that one knowing that there is no separation. And everywhere we look in nature, in science, spirituality is all teaching us the truth of oneness. But we in this realm, you know, the 3D, what I call the 3D matrix, we think everything is separate, and that's why we feel I can hurt that person because that person's separate from me, or I can go to war with that country because those people over there are separate from me. So that was my awakening in 2007, which prepared me for what was to come in my life. Yes, my son Kyle, he got very ill in 2011 and almost transitioned. Doctors had for 5 weeks, and doctors had said to me, they asked me if they could take him off life support because they didn't think he was going to live. And I told them, no, I'm not giving you permission to take my son off life support. Now, at that point, I was awakened to the truth of who I am as a sovereign divine being of light, creating my own reality. This is where I get off the boat, basically. This is where I get off the train. I wrote a suicide note. I said, I will not bury my son. My son will bury me. And in that hospital, a couple of floors above where he was in the ICU, I tried to take my life. I took a bottle of over-the-counter sleeping pills. That was the strongest I could find. You know, I went to the hospital pharmacy and over-the-counter sleeping pills, and I had a bottle of water. I wrote the suicide note, and I just took the bottle and pretty much thought I would not wake up. So I did, obviously, it wasn't a successful attempt. I'm still here. What happened was I was unconscious for about 2.5 days. And finally, when I did come to, and my vital signs were well enough for them to move me, they put me on 24-hour suicide watch. And they said I could visit. Kyle was still on life support because I had not given permission for them to take him off. And they would allow me to visit with him, supervise, because someone had to be with me 24/7. So they let me visit with him for a few minutes each day. And I remember the last time I had a visit with him while he was on life support. I said, Kyle, get better, so we can both go home. And I kind of just got close to his ear, and I whispered this in his ear. That night, he pulled himself off life support. He pulled out the ventilator. He pulled out the feeding tube, and his vital signs were perfect. The doctors said it was like he was never even sick. Those were the doctor's exact words. It was a true medical miracle. He pulled himself off life. And within a week, he and I were going home together. We actually came home on December 30th, 2011. It was the day before New Year's Eve, and we rang in the New Year together. And that was pretty much what changed my life, because I made a promise to God. When I got Kyle home, I said, God, I don't know what's going to happen from here on out. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know I will never stop thanking you for this miracle, for being able to bring my son home in December of 2011. So when he got ill again, he got sick again in April of 2014. I remember when he was being taken to the hospital by ambulance, and I said to God, you know, I don't know if I'm going to bring him home this time. You know, I want to, but I still thank you. I was thanking him as they were taking him back to the hospital. So in 2014, he was in the hospital the last 3 months of his life. He did transition, and I say transition because I know he's not gone. I actually have physical evidence he's still very much with me. But when he actually transitioned on July 1st of 2014, I was at complete peace. I knew he wasn't going anywhere. I knew it wasn't his body. His body was just the vehicle he was using in this 3D matrix. So I knew he wasn't going anywhere. I knew it was a soul plan that he and I made together. And I knew that, you know, it was his time. I know that every soul, we are sovereign, divine beings of light, and we live hundreds of lifetimes, if not thousands of lifetimes. And I know that every soul enters into a lifetime exactly in divine, perfect divine order and perfect divine timing, and every soul leaves in perfect divine timing. There is no such thing as too soon, no matter how old, you know, how many years that soul had lived on this life. He was 29 when he transitioned. But I, like I said, I have physical evidence. I knew when he was leaving that he wasn't leaving. You know, I knew he would still be with me, and I didn't need to even have a reading with a medium or anything like that. I was at complete peace when he actually transitioned. And it was about it was 6 months after his transition, Spirit inspired me to launch Awake to Oneness Radio. And that was all Spirit. Spirit woke me up in the middle of the night. It was January 7th, 2015. And Spirit said, just do it. Now, the just do it I knew was starting an internet radio show, which I didn't know how to do that. So I get up in the middle of the night and I just Google, how do you start an internet radio show? And I discovered Blog Talk Radio. So I started doing my show live in March of 2015. And I didn't know at that time what kind of guests I would have. I knew I had a whole list, like Lynn McTaggart, the woman that inspired my awakening. I definitely wanted her. People like Neil Donald Walsh, who I got to work with, and he's been on the show. I've just had some incredible authors and scientists and spiritual leaders on the show. So I'm very, very blessed. But one of my guests was Suzanne Giesman, who gifted me. She is an evidential medium and a channel. And she gifted me a reading on Kyle's birthday, which happened to be Thanksgiving Day in 2016. And during that reading, it was my first reading, and we were doing it through Zoom, Kyle tried to talk through her computer. And she could hear this whooshing sound real loud, and I couldn't hear a thing. But she said to me, you'll hear this in the audio recording, and you can hear it loud as day, but we can actually hear at one, if there's a spot in the middle of that recording where you can actually hear Kyle's voice. So I actually have his voice, not just him. He was holding my little dog, Coco, who had transitioned in 2007. And you could actually hear Coco's bark. You could hear my little Coco from Spirit and Kyle's voice from Spirit in that audio reading. I have that in a YouTube channel. In a YouTube video I put together. And then I also have a dear friend of mine, Sonia Rinaldi, who has been studying EVP, which is electronic voice phenomena. That's what happened with Kyle, with Suzanne Giesman. It was spontaneous EVP, electronic voice phenomena. Now, I say spontaneous because we weren't trying to make that happen. It happened spontaneously. Now, a lot of people try to do EVP readings, and they use background noises and whatever, but that we weren't trying to do that. And then I met Sonia Rinaldi, who works with electronic instruments to contact our loved ones on the other side, and she's been doing this work for over 30 years, and Kyle has come to her several times, and I have images of Kyle from Spirit, from Sonia Rinaldi. So I put all of that together, kind of like all my physical evidence that Kyle's not gone, that Kyle's still right here with me. I put it in a video on my YouTube channel. So I love to share that with anyone who's interested. They can go to YouTube. If you go to my YouTube, Awake Number 2 Oneness Radio, you'll see a video that says Kyle is Kyle's still right here. So that's the name of it. But yeah, it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience of awakening for me the past, I guess, 2000, since 2007. I can't believe we're already in 2021.
I know.
Yeah, that's kind of it, I guess, in a long nutshell.
Well, no, it's fascinating. I mean, your story leading up to this is great, and it certainly lays the groundwork for what you are doing now and what you want to do. So, all right, you've had these experiences. You've contacted your son, and you're still trying to convince the world that we are one. Now, a lot of people say that, Caroline. A lot of people say that.
Yes.
But how do you get that feeling? How do you really know that? I mean, even Carl Sagan said, we're all star stuff. We're all made of the same
mm-hmm.
thing. But how do people really get to know that and have that experience so that this change can manifest itself?
Well, basically, I say it's not, that's why it's not a mental or a mind or intellectual knowing. See, I do hear people talk a lot about oneness, but I can tell when it's coming from the intellect, the mind, and not the heart and soul. So that's why I said when I had my awakening, it wasn't an intellectual awakening. It was a heart and soul. It was like my soul woke up and said, yes, that is truth, you know? And we kind of know, like, we all know when we get inspiration. Like when Spirit woke me up in the middle of the night to start my radio show, we know that was Spirit, you know? And now my mind would have said, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't have the education to do that, or I don't have the resources to do that. That's what our mind, see, our mind always will tell us no. When our heart and soul tells us to do something, the mind, the monkey mind, I call it, gets in the way. And the monkey mind trips us up because the monkey mind will say, oh, you don't have enough money, or you don't have enough education, or you don't have enough resources. The monkey mind will think of anything and everything to tell you, no, you can't do it. But when you just, you shut that monkey mind, you said, you tell the monkey mind, shut up. Basically, and you follow what your heart and soul is telling you to do. You don't need to know but the first step. My first step was Googling, how do you start an internet radio show? And also the same day, I did, I incorporated the Kyle Foundation, and I spelled Kyle is an acronym for Keep Your Light Expanding. And Kyle actually gave me his name before he was born. When I was about 8 months pregnant with Kyle, I knew I was having a boy, but I didn't know what to name him. And in a dream, the name Kyle came to me in a dream. And the next morning, I was like, okay, I'm going to name him Kyle. And I didn't know anybody by the name Kyle. So I believe, like I said, I believe it was Kyle and I had a soul contract. And he knew that he was his contract here, or his soul, him being here in the physical, wasn't going to be very long, but I would use his name, that name Kyle, as an acronym for Keep Your Light Expanding. So everything happened in perfect divine order.
So what does your foundation do? I mean, where is it? What does it do? How can people join it? What happened?
Well, right now, it's all I did is incorporate it, and I'm going to build a website for it. I haven't done much with the Kyle Foundation. I got the URL, the name, and I got incorporated it as a nonprofit foundation in Pennsylvania. But I haven't done much with I've been doing a lot with Awake to Oneness Radio, and I haven't done much with the foundation yet. But my goal, the vision for the foundation is I want a oneness center here locally where I live in the Pocono Mountains. I'd love to build a oneness center where people can come and understand oneness, the science of oneness and the spirituality of oneness, just a place where everyone, it doesn't matter what your religion, just where everyone is welcome to learn the truth about oneness. So that's what I envision to be the Kyle Foundation Center.
Well, I support you in that. I think that's an absolutely admirable goal, and I hope you get that. It would be, I think it's wonderful when someone like you truly understands from the heart what the lack of separation means and what the mm-hmm. unity. When I was studying Huna, we look at it as a web. There is a center, there is an energy at the center, and then the web connects everything on the planet. So everybody's on the spoke of the web doing something, doing whatever it is they're doing and manifesting as that being. And it's a lovely concept because you can, you know, drape that over the entire planet and see the interconnectivity of pretty much everything. So and the people who want to experience it, having someone like you who really wants to just have them experience that and learn that in the core of who they are, that's amazing, because you can read books about it. You can look at what the bleep or the secret, or you can look at all that stuff, and you kind of go, oh, yeah, I get it. But you really, You really have to get it in the molecular core and center of your body.
Yes, from the heartfelt level. Very true. And I do believe, like I say, what we're, you know, what we're living in now is the 3D matrix, but that 3D matrix is crumbling. It truly is. And it started to crumble big time in 2020. It is, I mean, every aspect of this 3D matrix is collapsing in front of our eyes, which is a blessing in disguise. But all,
sure.
Like, all of our blessings are in disguise. What we call our biggest challenges are truly our biggest blessings when you look through spiritual eyes, because we to wake up. So yes, 2020 was the beginning of humanity's great awakening. And so I foresee nothing but unity coming our way. And I know a lot of people are saying, what? You know, but a lot of people are listening to this now and knowing what's going on and just in our country is saying, what is she talking about? What is she smoking? Give me some of that good stuff. But in truth, when you look from spiritual eyes, you can't look at the matrix crumbling. It has to, though, for us to build a new earth. The old has to crumble, and that's we're going through that crumbling stage right now. But it's like labor. I liken it to labor pains. It's like when you're having a baby and you're at the having that labor is tough. And yeah, so there's tough labor pains humanity has to go through. But once that newborn baby, which is the new earth, is born, we're going to be rejoicing. And I only focus on that. I focus on the new earth. I focus on where we're going. And I know that it's all good. So, because I know that we create what we focus on, you know, individually and collectively. So I don't focus on, you know, the crumbling of the 3D. I rejoice in the crumbling of the 3D matrix because I know where we're going. We just had, just last month was the winter solstice, December 21st, was a major day for humanity. We just stepped into the new age of Aquarius, which is the age of unity and oneness. So I'm excited, very excited.
Well, good, good. That's tremendous. So you go to Kyle for support and I would imagine inspiration too. And you have proof that you've done this. I mean, it's just extraordinary what you've done and the way you talk about it. It's sort of like, yeah, I went to the grocery store and I got this and I got that. It's just so ordinary in your life, but a lot of people would look at it and say, that's extraordinary. Do you see that as some kind of a beneficence that's special to you and makes you special?
Well, I don't look at myself as any special, or did I say that right there? Just make up a word. I think we're all special. We're all unique. We're all unique and equal, meaning we all are divine aspects of all that is God. So we all unique. So we all have special gifts that we come with when we're born. We're all born with special gifts. So I never look at myself as better, but, you know, I have certain abilities that I was born with, and I'm just kind of nurturing what my gifts are. But we all have that. So it's just about going within, tapping into your what makes, and I say how you find your gifts is what makes you happy. What do you love to do? Like if you love music, you love to paint, you love, you know, creating, you love writing, you know, you love speaking. Whatever you love to do is what your soul is telling you, this is what you came here to do. So I don't look at myself as being any special than anyone else. It's all about tapping into your purpose, your unique purpose, and living that truth. And when you do that, you just, you know, you just radiate because you're doing what you came here to do.
So, I have a friend who was, when she was 5 years old, her mother found her out in the backyard playing with a copperhead snake. And, you know, they were really enjoying each other, she and this little snake. And And she had an affinity for, this little copperhead would come up and see her every day. And her mother, of course, freaked out. Oh, my God, you can die. But she put that into her little brain. But before that, she had no fear. And my friend grew up to be a major psychic and has helped a lot of people and a lot of police departments and a lot of that. But she had that, like you say, her special gift was that she could, she lived in a world of no fear. And as a result, beings came and information came to her straight away because they knew there was no judgment, that it could come in cleanly. And then she was able to, help the rest of humanity. So I do think that is, and I think people miss perhaps sometimes that they do have a gift that could be that special thing that they can add to this matrix that makes us all inseparable.
Yes. Yes. And that is true that about fear. When you are awake, when you're truly awake to who you are as a sovereign divine being of light, you know there's nothing to fear. I love the acronym that fear is false, evidence appearing real. Fear is unreal. And when you know that and you know who you truly are, there is no fear. So you don't fear anything. You listen to that calling within your heart and you step out into it because you know there's nothing to fear because you know who you are. And when you know who you are, what is there to fear? So this is true. And I kind of actually, I'm glad you brought up that subject of fear because what a lot of people are living in now is fear. And I see that when I venture out and my heart goes out to anyone that's living in fear, because that all fear is false evidence appearing real. It's not real. Fear is unreal, and fear is very, very. It lowers your immune system. It's very detrimental to your health. When you're in a state of fear, you lower your immune system, and it wreaks havoc on your body and your physical health. So, and I was just I was just in California, and I was taking an Uber from my hotel to LAX to fly back home, and the young man, very young man that was driving, I could see the state of fear he was in when I didn't have on my mask before I got in the car. But when I got in the car, he said, "Do you have a mask?" I said, "Yeah, I have a mask. I'm going to put it on when I get in the car." And he was putting my bags in the trunk, and he put my bags in the trunk. I got in the car. I got my mask out of my pocket and put it on. He stood outside the car until I put on my mask. He was that fearful of me with my mask off. And all I said, I felt such compassion for him because I can't imagine living in a state of fear like that. And there's so many people worldwide, not just in our country, living now in a state of fear and not understanding, not realizing that fear will make you sick before anything else. That's gonna
What do you say to the family that is looking at an eviction notice that they know that they have not paid their rent in 3 months? They're looking at eviction. They don't have enough food to put on the table. Their internet connection, if they get it, their kids are way behind. Everything is everything that they knew is falling apart because of finances. Do they have a right to be afraid?
Well, when you say do they have a right, okay, I understand. I understand because I've been in situations where I'm like, finances are not great, especially I got married young and got divorced young and had two children, so I pretty much raised my children by myself, and that was a very trying time. So I've been in those situations myself. And the thing I would say is, as you understand that this physical realm. And that's another thing, because everything I truly am grounded in is also proven by science. This physical realm is not physical. And I learned that in seventh grade when we studied atoms and molecules. And I'll never forget when my seventh grade teacher said to me, nothing is truly solid. So I say that because I know everything is energy, and it's our energy that creates our experience in the physical, quote-unquote, physical reality we're going to experience. So if we, you know, if our vibration is low, then that is going to create the next moment. But if our vibration is high, if we know that, okay, all right, this is not the greatest situation, but if I keep a positive look at a positive outlook, if I keep my vibration high, it's the next thing that I encounter is going to be of like vibration. And I can say this because I have experienced this in my life. I mean, like I said, I got married when I was 17. I married my first boyfriend, and there was a time before Kyle was born, my daughter was just a baby, where my husband and I, we were living in Virginia. We got evicted, and my parents lived in Jersey, and I could have always gone home, but, you know, it's like, you know, at that age, you're like, well, I ran away. I ran away from home, eloped, got married, and I'm living in Virginia, and we lived in our car for 2 months with my husband and I with a baby. Kyle wasn't born yet. Kyle wasn't, my daughter was about a year old, and they're 4 years apart. So it was just my daughter, but we lived in a car for 2 months. So I've experienced that, you know, being homeless. I've experienced, you know, not knowing where, you know, the next meal is going to come from. But I know from my spiritual growth now, and when I was back in my early 20s, I didn't know what I know now. But by keeping positive, meaning fear. Okay, basically, I believe my definition for worry is praying for what you don't want, because it's science and spiritual that what you focus on, you draw to you. So if you're focusing only on what you don't want to happen, you're literally feeding it your energy, and you're bringing that situation that you don't want to happen closer to you. But if you focus, if your intentions are on what you want, you focus on what you want, you're bringing that closer to you. So I always say to people, worry, because worry is just projecting into the future. It hasn't happened yet. So if you're going to project into the future, project what you want, project your intention, because you're truly feeding it your energy. In quantum physics, it's all possibilities. So the possibility that you feed the most is the possibility that is going to come, you're going to be a vibrational match to it, and you'll experience what you are a vibrational match to. And yet, I didn't know that when I was in my 20s, but now I'm 58, I've lived life and I've experienced it time and time again, that when I'm a vibrational match to something is when I experience it. So I do understand what you mean about fear, and I do understand why people are in fear, but we kind of tend to be in fear when we're only focusing on the physical realm and forgetting that our physical senses can only detect 0.035% of what is actually around us, and there's so much more out there than what we physically see. So it kills me when people say, I only believe what I see. Okay, so when people say that to me, it's like, okay, so you only believe 0.35% of what is actually out there. We know that there are all kind of microwaves, gamma waves, all kind of things, you know, surrounding us that we can't physically see. Most of what is surrounding us, science has proven, that, you know, our physical senses can't detect it, but scientific instruments can. So we can't kind of, it's kind of hard when people, my best advice would be, understand that you're more than just a physical being. You have a physical body, but you're more than that. You are a divine being of light. You're infinite. And you are creating your reality with your thoughts and your attention. So when we shift our attention just slightly, it changes the outcome the very next second. And also to ground in the now. Meaning, okay, so the past is gone, the future hasn't happened yet. So in this now moment, look around, what can you be thankful for? There's always something in this now moment to be thankful for. And I know especially now, especially after 2020 and all of the lockdowns and small businesses going out of business, I know, actually, I just posted this today on Facebook, that there's a video that I listened to Ben Swan, who is Truth in Media. And he put out a short video about how right now the rich are getting super rich and the poor are getting super poor. The gap between rich and poor is widening. It's like I said, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer on steroids since 2020 with all of the lockdowns, because the lockdowns are only hurting the poor and making them poorer, and the rich, the big tech, is getting richer and richher. So the gap, it's like almost no more middle class. And I said that, you know, that the thing that we have to do is realize that the old matrix, that's part of the matrix breaking down, you know, that gap, that widening of the gap. But if we're, whatever situation we're in, come, bring yourself to the now moment. Focus yourself in the now and look around in this now moment. I mean, is there a roof over your head at this now moment? Even if there's an eviction notice on the desk and it's like 30 days, whatever, you know, it's not this now moment you have a roof over your head. You know what I'm saying? So just kind of ground yourself in the now and look around for something to be thankful for, even if it's just a glass of water, even if it's a loaf of bread in the refrigerator, a jug of milk, your children playing on the floor, you know, something in this now moment you can be thankful for. And I do practice that. I practice what I preach about being grateful in every now moment. The first thing I do when I get up is pull out my gratitude journal and I list what I'm grateful for. A lot of times it's sometimes I get to watch the sunrise. And oh, the other day when I was in California, I got to watch the most beautiful sunrise. And I grabbed my book, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's just there's something in every now moment to be thankful for. There truly is. We tend to, as human beings, to focus on what we don't have. But here's the thing: in every now moment, we have exactly what we need. And it I know it seems. It's just we're so used to, in our humanness, focusing on what's the beauty that is all around us, not focusing on the beauty that is all around us. We tend to focus on what we think we need in that now moment. But if we truly, if we each of us are truly honest with ourselves, we know that we truly do have everything we need in every now moment, and we miss so many blessings and the simple small things we overlook. So I hope that kind of answered your question about fear, because it's just
well,
it's,
yeah,
it's
but
not
I, you
productive.
Know, I'm still concerned about
ahead.
The person out there who is just everything is just, you know, being swept away from them, and you know, with hunger in your belly, it's very hard to dwell in loftier ideas, and I want healing for that person. I want that person to not suffer, and to feel helped and supported, and in some way nobody can do it for them. But, you know, what do you say to that person who just feels defeated and underheard? And, you know, we've seen all the movements and the racial unrest and people standing mm-hmm. up and saying, wait a second, we're not being heard. Here's, you know, hear me. Name her, name
right.
him, and it's very powerful. But how do we help that happen when a person is just like, okay, you beat me down, I can't, I don't have a glass of water. You know, how do you help that mm-hmm. woman or man?
Well, I think we can, we, each of us can only do what we can in each moment. I'm thinking about coming home, okay, there was a young man. I was in Newark, I flew into Newark Airport, and it took 2 hours to get an Uber. And I thought about it, I'm like, why doesn't normally I can get an Uber in 15 minutes at the most, but it took 2 hours to get an Uber. So while I'm trying to get an Uber, a young man came up to me, and he's not homeless or anything. He's just a young man who was down on his luck. He said that he couldn't get money out of the ATM because of this fraud protection he has on his card. He said because he's been traveling and he's been to 3 different locations and using his card in 3 different locations, the bank thought it might be possible fraud on his card, so they put the fraud protection in, and so he couldn't even get money. Now, this is the story he's telling me, and I just believe him. There's no reason not to. And a young man in his 30s, he's like, I'm just trying to catch a bus to get to Connecticut, and I'm short $7. Now, because most people don't take cash, I don't travel with a lot of cash. I only had a few dollars, but I gave him what I had. And, you know, so, and all I can say is, you know, I did what I could for this young man who was stranded at the airport, who just wanted to get a train and needed some cash, couldn't get cash out of his ATM. So I did my small part. So if we each, as we come to that type of a situation, like if you're in the city, I don't go to the city often, but if you're in the city and you see someone hungry and homeless, and if you have a few dollars you want to give them, or if you want to go in the store and buy them a sandwich and give them a sandwich. So I say for each of us, when that opportunity arises to help somebody, we should help them.
Great. Okay. Yes. And yes. And if you were talking to someone who was really feeling down on their luck and defeated, and depressed and all of those things, what would you say to them, Carolyn? What would you ask them?
Well, actually,
to think about?
I do mentoring, and I do it for free. I offer free mentoring sessions, and I've been mentoring this year, 2020. I can't say this year because we're in 2021, new year. I did a lot of mentoring in 2020 for people that were suicidal. I mentored people whose loved ones committed suicide, or they were thinking of committing suicide, and I mentored them for free. I mentor people for free all the time, and basically I share my journey, and I will always try to get people to come to the now moment, because I find the now moment is where I find the peace. Now, the now moment, the power, the book, The Power of Now, is one of my favorite books by Eckhart Tolle. But in The Power of Now, I've learned that our power is in the now. It's not in the past. It's not in the future. All of our power and our connection to our higher self is all right here in the present moment. And in the present moment, we can, if we clear our minds, however a person meditates, if it's a, you know, sometimes people like to jog and meditate, but whatever will clear your mind, it's the monkey mind that tends to get in our way. So when you clear your mind and go into your heart and go into your soul and connect to that source, the source that you are a part of, all that is. And that's kind of how, when I'm mentoring someone, I try to get them to know, let's the past is gone, and forgive the past. Whatever happened in the past, forgive it. The future isn't here. What we have is the now. And in this now moment, let's see, I'll ask that person, look around. What is there that you can tell me in your, if you look around right now, what is it you can be thankful for in this now moment? And focus on, and make, sometimes I'll say, take out a piece of paper and make a list of all the things you're thankful for in this now moment. But let's just stay right here in the now and focus on the positive in this now moment. And then we can, you can do that in every now moment that you start to feel weak, that you start to feel that you can't make it, that you, you know, that you're only focusing on what you feel you don't have. Let's try to flip that script and focus on what you do have in that moment. So I do that, and anybody that's interested in mentoring, please go to my website and just email me, and yeah, I love mentoring.
Well, let's tell everyone where they can find you and how they can listen to you and how they can reach you. Go ahead.
Sure. It's awake, the number 2, oneness radio.org. is the website. And if you go to YouTube, it's just Awake, number 2, Oneness. So it's Awake 2, Oneness Radio. I always say it's not the word 2, it's the number 2. And you can find me on YouTube. You can find my website. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, all of the social medias. You can find me anywhere. But, yeah, I love to do one-on-one mentoring. And it's for me a big part of it is connecting to our true self, which is our higher self, which knows all, and we have to quiet the mind and kind of shut out the matrix, the 3D realm, which is truly just a creation, a dream of our own creation, because it's not even physical. I love to say to people, do you know we don't live in a physical realm? It's not physical. It only appears to be physical. It's all thought form. And so if we change our thought, we can change our reality.
Well, I think Richard Bach wrote a wonderful book years and years ago called Illusion, and it truly deals with exactly what you're saying. It's a beautiful poetic treatise on the difference between the material and the immaterial world and that sensation that we can all bring into ourselves. Well, we just have about a minute left, and I want to thank you very much for being with us. And I think, one of the nicest takeaways is that if we can just remember that in every now moment, we have exactly what we need. And that could become a mantra. That could be the way we start our day. That could be an empowering phrase we go to when we feel eclipsed by life. I think that's a very strong and powerful way to do that. And you're an amazing human being, and I love the work you do. And thank you so much for being on The Art of Healing tonight. And once again, let's tell everybody it's Awake, the number 2, Oneness Radio Show, Awake 2, Oneness Radio Show. And you can hear more of Caroline and all of her esteemed and inspirational guests. So thank you very much. And I'll turn it back over to you, Hercules, so that you can be one with us in that moment now and know that we have exactly what we need.
Thank you so much. Always great to be reminded. And I very much enjoyed your conversation tonight. It was very illuminating, and this has been, for many people, a very eventful time. So it's always good to return to things that you know to be true deep down inside.
Yes, indeed. And I just adopted a new kitty this morning, and his name is Spirit. And I get to pick him up tomorrow. So what a perfect way to end this day with, you know, a new life called Spirit. I just love it.
That is indeed incredibly awesome. I'd like to wish you both a very happy, healthy, and prosperous new year. May this year bring many awesome things into your lives. And I look forward to my next conversation with both of you.
Thank you, Hercules.
Thank you.
And thank you. Thank you, Caroline. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you on. And stay
it's
well.
It's my honor.
And
thank you for
remain
having
happy.
Me. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thanks to everybody who joined us from home, whether you listened live or whether you plan on joining us later on demand. The same well wishes extend to you and yours. We're going to close with Mighty Elohim today by Linnell Griffin.